As you probably know, we've been doing a sermon series on sharing the gospel. And so far in the series, we've covered what is the gospel and why should we share the gospel. And today we're asking ourselves, who should share the gospel with whom? Should it be me? Or you? Or somebody else? Should it be the vicar? Or the missionaries? Or the spiritual elite? Should it just be these people who share the gospel? Is sharing the gospel only for certain personality types? Or is sharing the gospel only for those with special gifts? It might seem like an easy answer. After all, the gospel is good news. That's what it means. And it's the good news of salvation for everyone. So surely it makes sense to share that good news, especially when it's that good. So therefore, if the gospel is good news for everyone, surely everyone should share it with everyone. But that's a fairly simplistic answer, and perhaps too many uses of the word everyone. Or we'll see. Let's break the question down. Who should share the gospel, and who should they share it with? Or rather, who is it for? Who is the gospel for? So firstly, who is it for? Well, it's for everyone. Really it is, for everyone. For every single person in the whole world. The gospel is for every nation, for every people group. In the well-known Great Commission from Matthew 28, Jesus commands us, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And Paul tells us in Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." So, it's for all nations. Anyone who believes, to Jews and non-Jews. Everyone. For every background, for every culture. And there are even some surprising people who may not be that surprising to us, but they would have been to the Jews 2,000 years ago. People they didn't expect. Think about the Ethiopian eunuch we've just heard about. He was a Gentile, a non-Jew. And they weren't expecting God to save the Gentiles. And he was a eunuch as well. And eunuchs were not even allowed in the temple in Jerusalem. In the temple in Jerusalem, there were a number of divisions, depending on who you are. In the center of the temple was the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go. Then after that, further away, was a place for the other priests. And then further back was the court for the Jewish men, and then the women's court. And the whole complex was surrounded by another wall. And then the outer court, beyond which the Gentiles were not allowed. So they were extremely separated from the temple and the place of worshiping God. That sounds harsh, isn't it? However, the eunuchs were not even allowed into the gates of the outer court. They were right outside the temple complex. Because it said in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, "No one who has been emasculated by cutting or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord." So they weren't allowed in, they were right outside. But later, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, there are many passages where Jerusalem and the temple and God's people are universalized, open to all. All nations will come to Zion, to Jerusalem, to worship God. And in the middle of those passages, the eunuchs are specifically mentioned. Let's have a look at it. Isaiah 56, which is our first reading, which is on page 742. 742. Verse 3. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely exclude me from his people." And let not any eunuch complain, "I am only a dry tree." For this is what the Lord says: to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And then we fast forward to Acts chapter 8, which is our second reading, where we find Philip baptizing the first non-Jew, the first Gentile, in the book of Acts. And the man is from Ethiopia. And interestingly, he's reading Isaiah. He may have been reading this before he read the other part. And he's a eunuch. And yet, God specifically arranges for the gospel to go to the Ethiopian eunuch. So the program of Acts is that God's people should be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the whole earth. Those previously excluded, the eunuchs, will now be included in the coming Messianic kingdom, because Jesus is the new true temple and no one is excluded from a relationship with Jesus. No one is excluded. No one. The gospel really is for everyone. No one is too outcast. No one is too bad to be saved. We can think of Saul, who persecuted the Christians until he met Jesus and became Paul. No one is too good. The Bible reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which you can find in Romans. And no one is too rich, and no one is too poor. God is amazingly powerful, and he can save anyone. But surely, everyone needs to hear and know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But how will people believe if they don't hear it? So on to our second point. Who should share it? Who should share the gospel? We see from the Bible that some people are called to be evangelists specifically. In Ephesians, it says this: Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So, evangelists are mentioned there amongst other roles. And as we recognize today, there are people who call themselves evangelists to do that job. And then there are some people who are called to evangelize and to do other stuff as well. Such as Timothy from the Bible. He's told by Paul to do the work of an evangelist. Perhaps this is in addition to other work he was doing. But ultimately, all Christians can be a part of God's mission. Once again, we come back to Jesus' great commission to his disciples. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus was talking to his apostles and the other followers around him. So we might wonder, is this calling to all of us? Or just for those specially equipped? Well, in Peter's first letter in the New Testament, he writes to the churches in Asia Minor and reminds them, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared. Why is this? Why does he say this? Well, in the same letter, Peter reminds the church, he reminds us, you are a chosen people. Excuse me. He reminds us, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And he says that they are a royal priesthood. They're all God's servants. They're all to declare the praises of him. And that's just not singing, but it's proclaiming how wonderful God is and how amazing his gospel is. At this stage, you might feel pressured or guilty or lacking the time and energy to do this kind of work. But don't worry. It's really good to remember that we are all a team in this together. The very images of the church in the Bible have this idea of a harmonious partnership built into them. We are like a vine, and each of us is a branch. We are like a temple, and each of us is a stone. We are like a body, and each of us is like a limb. And if we leave all the rest of evangelism to one person, for instance, the rector, then he can only evangelize so many on his own. But if everyone works together, and everyone who has been here much longer than the rector or myself, they know the people and the place much better, consequently. Imagine how many more could hear and know the good news, the gospel. But are we really in a position to share the gospel regularly? Let's think, who could we share the gospel with? Well, it's also always good to remember that the gospel is best shared in the context of a relationship. God calls us to love our neighbour as ourselves. And that way, people won't just hear the gospel, but they will see it in action in our lives. People will know that it is real, that it has a real impact on our lives, and it will have a real impact on theirs too. And we trust that when people have known us over a long time, they'll see the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. For example, they might notice the strength our faith gives us when we face a serious illness or another serious problem. So who do we have relationships with? Well, there's the obvious ones, our family, our friends, our colleagues, acquaintances, at the pub, at the cricket club, at any other social event, at the flower show, at the mums and toddlers group, at the youth club, any of these things. We have relationships with lots of people. And we could invite people to church services and events. It would be really great if we could ask ourselves, who could we invite to church services or events? And please do let Mark know what would be an appropriate event. Perhaps we could invest in developing relationships further, in developing more relationships, being more intentional. We could intentionally make relationships with people and build them, involve them in our lives, and share the gospel with them. But first through our actions, but ultimately through our words. The Bible also reminds us of this. In Colossians it says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And at the end of the day, love goes a long way to influencing people for Christ, to sharing the gospel with people. There's a story of a Christian who tells the story of a neighbor who was trying to put up a TV antenna on his roof. But he was having a really difficult time. So, this Christian, he decided to give him a hand. He went over and took with him his best tool, and soon they had the antenna up. And his neighbor asked him what he made with such fancy tools. And he replied, "Friends, mostly." So, to sum up, the gospel is for everyone, and everyone can share it. It's best shared in the context of relationships, and we have relationships with lots of people. And love goes a long way. To share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people is a joy and a privilege of all Christians. It's not that God will stop loving us if we don't, or that we need to be relieved of some guilty feelings. It's not as if God has laid some dreadful and onerous burden upon us, which must be fulfilled on the pain of torture. We look for opportunities to tell people about Jesus because we love them, and because the gospel is that good. It's a joy and a privilege, and it's part of growing to be like the Lord Jesus. And next week, we'll be looking at how we can share the gospel. So I hope that's whet your appetite for that. Amen.